A Thought for Your Pennies is hosted by Shauna and Squeaky and explores ways to save money and tips to avoid scams, all while they share their own stories along the way. Get in touch by calling 970-425-3060 or emailing penniespod@gmail.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to A Thought for Your Pennies, the show where we learn to save money together. I'm your host, Shauna, and this is Squeaky.
Hey, I'm Squeaky, and I'm an adult who still plays with toys.
That's great, Squeaky. We are going to be talking about toys, how to save on toys, scams with toys, and focusing on kid toys, but also toys that adults play with as well, probably.
You can build
our scams.
Anything out of Legos, but if you have a different way to get there.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, took you a moment.
I want to tell a story about toys, starting with a kid story, a short story where I had friends over, and you know, kids and their toys, they just go everywhere. I actually had a Lego ban on my children because I was too afraid. I was like, you can get Legos when I see that you are picking up after yourselves.
Oh, so
and we never got Legos.
Yeah, you just banned Legos. Damn, that's rough.
I was trying to get them to pick up after themselves, but they wouldn't do it.
I have never seen parents successfully make their kids pick up after themselves and not just have miserable children that hated them. It's like,
right.
So
I didn't have miserable kids. I just had toys everywhere. So much so that when my friends were over at a party, one of them took, they tried to get ice from my ice dispenser from the fridge in the kitchen. And when they hit that, just like three toy dinosaurs fell out.
So like, what do you get their toy dinosaurs?
They're
trying to reenact the Ice Age?
I have no idea. When, how, why. Their vantage point is shorter than ours, so they're looking up, and they're looking into the ice dispenser and see a cavity, and they're like, I should fill that with toys.
Dinosaurs come from caves, right?
Right. Another story I have like that is one time my furnace wasn't working, and I called my dad over, and I was like, Dad, you have to help me. I don't know what's going with my furnace.
Oh,
so my dad's doing a check, and he goes outside, and he takes off the PVC piping outside, and it is full of toys. My kids' toys, they just were like, oh, there's a pipe. I got to shove some toys in it. So my furnace stopped leaking and I put a mesh on it so that the kids couldn't put more toys in random areas.
Anything specific or?
It was more miniature things that could fit in a whatever inch PVC exhaust pipe from the HVAC.
You to know how hard I'm digging for Ice Age and dinosaur cave jokes. For all the kinds of things I could be saying about stuffing one-inch objects into larger...
I mean, you just have to appreciate my point of view as a parent, where I'm like, please put your toys away. And they're like, no, we need to stuff it into every cavity we see instead. We're not going to put it back in the toy box.
Yeah.
We're going to put it in all these other things.
Yeah, why could we put it in the toy box and we could share the joy of a furnace fixing bill with mommy?
Right, exactly. Exactly. So one of the toy battles I have with my kids is I finally am like, look, I can't take it. I'm going to put down a boundary. If I step on a toy, I am throwing it away. I am not telling you about it. I'm not giving you an opportunity to do anything. And my daughter was kind of like, okay, whatever. Cause she, you know, easy come, easy go. My son is the one who needed his toys, who remembered every toy, who cataloged his toys, who had an acquisition quest with his sister's toys. It was very like dragon hoarding wealth, but instead of gold, it's toys, and sleeping on mountains of toys was his, you know, young childhood. And so my daughter's like, ah, whatever. And then my son has the exact same response of like, ah, whatever. And I'm like, okay.
Well, there's a cause and effect thing for children. Children don't always put together the words you say now with the actions that happen later. So I presume that's going to play into the punchline here, right?
Well, not quite. Both kids are like, okay, whatever. If you step on a toy, we understand. That's the rule. You're going to throw it away. No question. They accept it. So I start doing it. Like, there is some action figure that I step on, I toss it in the trash. There's some dinosaur I stepped on, toss it in the trash. There was a old baby toy, I just toss it in the trash. And then we had this this window between the kitchen and the living room.
Yeah.
So I could see into the kitchen, but if you're shorter, you can't see back into the living room. So I'm cleaning in the living room and I look in the kitchen. And yeah, he's just opening the trash can, looking in there. And he gets all of his toys out and takes it to his room. So I feel like maybe it was a partial success with the toys because he did start putting them in his room because he knew that he had to get it out of the trash can before the trash was taken out.
That is such amazing cause and effect. I was so wrong with him not understanding it. He understood it just at a different level. He's like, mommy's going to put it away in this toy box, the smelly toy box, which I have to move to the good toy box if I want to keep it. It's so good.
Yep. So that's the stories I have about toys and the kids.
Okay.
Did you do you have any toys that you remember from your childhood?
A whole bunch of random stuff. I don't know that any are worth worth a story. I don't know.
I remember one of my favorite Christmas toys I got was a Talk Boy. You remember those?
Was that the thing from Home Alone? The little like Walkman thing with a little crappy microphone on it?
Exactly. Steven and I played with the Talk Boy because you could record your voice and then play it back all sped up so you sounded like a cartoon character. And we love that thing. That was like one of our favorite toys. And the other thing I remember about toys from my childhood is that I have a January birthday, but my brother has a June birthday.
Okay.
And so my January birthday is a week after Christmas or 2 weeks after Christmas Eve.
Oh, so you were getting shafted, huh?
Yeah, I was getting the returns, the crap that nobody wanted. I even had 1 year of people being like, sorry, we can't afford both Christmas and your birthday this year. You know, so I've gotten a number of the, this is your double birthday Christmas present. My husband did that to me one time and I was like, you can never do this to me again. And he was like, oh, okay, sorry.
This husband or the last husband? Is that the reason you got divorced?
No, this husband. This husband learned right away.
Oh, the implication. The last husband did it twice. Now he's gone.
Yeah. Take care of my husband's. But I just got so jealous because my brother's birthday is in the middle of summer, so he had a bigger gift pile, and he always got cooler gifts like Super Soakers. I never got a Super Soaker because it's winter, and nobody's going to buy. They're just not on sale.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, so those are my toy memories. I had Cabbage Patch dolls, and these Cabbage Patch dolls had a plastic head and a fabric body, and so Steven loved to decapitate them. My brother Steven would just
rip
the heads off of my Cabbage Patch dolls, off of my Barbies, and destroy them. So that caused a lot of strife.
Yeah, I remember getting like one of those big, not the big wheel, but I remember this when I was like a really little kid. This, it was Rambo themed, if that dates it at all.
Okay.
It was this like plastic, like this cheap plastic we called the trike, right? Because we kept it way too long. We wore all the Rambo stickers off of it. We ground it into the dirt. But it was just this big plastic wheel thing in front you could pedal as a little kid with like these big wheels in back that made this noise that was supposed to sound like a machine gun. It went click, 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 click. It was just the silliest thing. And my dad is like, we don't need to give my, you know, two sons these big machine guns on a trike. It's just going to make them do stuff. So then he got us a bunch of Nerf guns and we just made trouble anyway. It's like, I don't know. He tried. It was just so ridiculous.
I think one of the best toys we had wasn't really a toy. It was this giant beanbag. Like, it must have only been like 6 feet across, but we were, you know, only 3-4 feet tall. And so we would jump off the couch and flip into this thing. We would do all kinds of stuff with this giant beanbag. That was awesome. It wasn't a toy. I think it was just a piece of furniture, but we played the heck out of that beanbag.
That's adorable.
Yeah. So if you have any toy stories, haha, or anything you want to share with us about toys and your kids or growing up about sweet toys, please send us an email at athoughtforyourpenniespod@gmail.com. We'll share it on air so we can learn how to save money together. Hey there, Penny Thinkers. This is the ad part of our show that you want to skip over, but I don't want you to skip it because I want you to help out people who have survived the LA fires. And we have this link for you, linkcuts.org/LA fires. If you go there, there's a Google spreadsheet that has a ton of different organizations to help out the victims of the LA fire. Would love if you could show your support for our show by supporting the survivors.
I don't know what you said, Shauna, but I wholeheartedly agree that we should help people in the LA fires. So yeah, was that linkcuts.org/LA fires, all lowercase?
Yeah, that is the link, linkcuts.org/LA fires.
Well, I support you think I am fires prevent money donate.
Did I just word salad?
If you didn't, I got lost.
Man, the important thing is linkcuts.org/LA fires. Hey, welcome back to A Thought for Your Pennies, the show where we learn to save money together. I'm Shauna, and this is Squeaky.
Hey, I'm Squeaky, and I still like playing with Legos. I just have to keep them out of my mouth.
That's great, Squeaky. We're so proud of your growth and development.
Thank you.
This episode, we're going to keep on talking about toys, and we're going to talk about how to save money on toys, because this is something that can get kind of out of hand, especially when you have kids who want a bunch of stuff or you want a bunch of stuff. So how do we make sure that we aren't spending too much on toys? So talking about savings for toys is this rest of this segment.
Oh, man. This would have been so problematic for my parents, because like... I don't know. I was that little kid that got upset when I got Mega Blocks instead of Legos, and I like just didn't understand, you know, like the realities of finances. I don't know. There's so many places there can be weird problems here with kids, but kids are also malleable, right? If you give them a toy that's almost, is it going to be okay?
I mean, it really depends. For me, it was like when the kids started to get the peer pressure when they realized that they were not getting the Legos instead of the Mega Blocks because the other kids were talking about it. That's like when toy problems started to happen. But it's also very culturally defined. When I was thinking about this as I was planning my family, I was reading an article where in other countries, they have like 7 toys and that's it. And it seems to be a uniquely United States problem with families where they just have tons and tons and tons of toys you don't really need.
I mean, where else do we get microplastics?
from the toys we give our kids, right? Yeah.
Yeah, what you were saying, a spoonful of microplastics? That's like 10 Legos. That's we can hit that metric. We'll be fine.
Yeah, each person carries 10 Legos inside of them, right? Instead
Wait,
of a spoonful
is that
of
how much I'm supposed to limit it to?
I don't know.
If you're not supposed to eat them, why are they so brightly colored?
That's a great question, Squeaky. Well, the first thing that I wanted to say about saving on toys is buying secondhand and swapping toys. And this saves money because gently used toys can be found 50 to 90% off retail price. And I think you pretty much, this kind of comes intuitively because kids will play with a toy for like a week, be obsessed with it, and then never see it again. So having some type of place to get used toys or toy swaps or something like that just seems to make a lot of sense.
This seems like ideal for the kind of toys that don't have like a lot of little parts or something. Like secondhand
right.
Legos seems like a terrible idea, but like secondhand Big Wheel seems like an awesome idea.
No, secondhand Legos was something that my kids directly benefited from, where we had a parent whose kids kind of aged out of Legos and we got trash bag fulls of
aged out
Legos.
Of Legos. I'm like 400 or something. I have enough Legos to build a pyramid.
When the kid moved from their parents' house, they did not take the trash bags of Legos with them. Their loss. Yeah, right?
What?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. fine.
But, I mean, this is something to think about because depending how old the toys are, because toys do get safety recalls. And, you know, old toys, they use lead paint. So some toys, it's okay to use secondhand. Oh, some yeah. toys, you need to, you know, use your best judgment.
Yeah, secondhand lawn darts seem sketch. Yeah.
Yeah, lawn darts have been banned in our country for a good reason.
They're banned for sale. They're not banned for use if you have them. It's fine. Just throw them straight up. It's great.
Okay. Well, where you can find secondhand toys, obviously, is thrift stores like Goodwill and Salvation Army. Lots of online marketplaces these days, like Facebook Marketplace, OfferUp, Craigslist, Nextdoor. Lots of toy listings there. And then toy swap events or buy, sell, trade groups are great places to find secondhand toys. And the Toy Association, there is such an association, they state that buying pre-owned toys is a sustainable and cost-effective alternative.
Is that a government thing or is that a market thing?
It's the Toy Association. Everybody should know about it.
Well, it's the Dairy Council. I don't know where it's from. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
They don't reveal who they're actually a part of. They are the leader of today's dynamic and innovative toy and play industry.
This feels like some deep state nonsense. I think this is from Santa Claus.
Yeah, they're actually sponsored by the CIA.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Just the Toy Association. It's surprising they got something so direct. Okay.
Another way that you can save on toys is by getting open-ended and multi-use toys. So we talked about Legos, but also building blocks, art supplies that grows with your kid and offers more long-term play value. And if you have multi-use toys, that reduces the need for frequent purchases and kind of keeping kids longer, a little bit interest longer.
What are the kinds of things you can't use multiple times? I'm thinking like Play-Doh dries out or just things with consumables, avoid that.
I feel like this is the peer pressure toys sort of thing where everybody's got, like, Bluey is really popular right now, and everybody wants Bluey stuff or Paw Patrol stuff or, you know, the latest show that's out there right now, like, that they're going to play with that until they hit, you know, for like a few years maybe if you're lucky. And then once they hit into the next peer group show that they're all watching, like, you know, like preschool right now, it's all Bluey. But then when they all start going to show, it'll be... whatever elementary school older kids are interested in.
That just feels like the way things naturally work. Like, when we were kids, what was it, Ninja Turtles?
Right, but think about if you got your kid an art easel at 4 or 5 years old, that's the same art easel they'll be using at 15 years old, right? Because you're just buying new supplies and new ways to do the art.
I am curious what this easel is made out of, that it survives that long. But okay,
I mean, they make, like, Little Tykes easels has an easel with paper on it that is that height, but it's just an example of, like, you can use the same paintbrush set through those decades. I had my father-in-law actually cut a builder's set out of 2x4s, so they were, like, these big blocks, and he rounded the edges of it, and these were the 2x4, like, builder block set that he made for his children. Was still around for my kids.
Nice.
So
it's impressive.
It's stuff like that, that really lasts a long time and kids use it for a long time. Now, I'll say portability-wise, Legos are much better than the 2x4 set. Like, it's currently taking up this giant tote, but it's actually out on my front porch because it's just wood, it's durable, and I have it in a non-rainy area in a plastic tote, and when kids come over to my house, I pull that thing out, dump it on my front patio, and they have a great time.
Okay, that sounds awesome. But I feel like you're just besmirching the name of Lego here. Like, they don't last literally forever. But
they do, I think.
Yeah.
No, I was saying Legos are a good thing because they're a little bit more portable than this giant 2x4 lumber set.
Okay.
That's what I was trying to say, yeah.
It also sounds we're just hitting the recycling points. Reduce, reuse, recycle, and it works in that order. Reduce what toys you're getting by getting things your kids are going to like for a long time. Right? Reduce, reuse by buying secondhand toys. Recycle by, I don't know if you can actually recycle it. We haven't touched that yet, but whatever.
Melt down the Legos and put
build
it into
a one
new
large
forms.
Super Lego.
Well, other examples of great long-lasting toys are magnetic tiles, like Magna tiles, Picasso tiles, building sets, we've talked about that extensively, and pretend play items, play kitchens, dollhouses, dress-up clothes. Those can last a long time. The American Academy of Pediatrics, they have studies that show that open-ended toys encourage creativity and hold kids' interest longer. And I've seen this definitely with my kids. And I think the thing that my brother and I played with for years was a talk boy where we could record our voice and change our voice and listen back to it. And I was talking with my partner about this, and he talked about how when he was a kid with his sisters, they also had a talk boy and they would pretend that they were recording episodes of Ricky Lake.
That's hilarious.
Isn't it?
Why is he not your co-host? How did we get to me? You could have this, like, talk boy camaraderie that, like, I had a talk boy, right? But I never had batteries, right? It was just, that's just,
we
okay.
We could invite him on as a guest.
Oh, okay. Have him bring his talk boy. That's what he should record on.
Yeah, the generational talk boy. Well, I mean, our phones do it now, so don't need the talk boy anymore.
Oh, but it's just, it's so much less 80s.
Well, here's another way to save on toys. You can take advantage of free and low-cost toy alternatives. So the free alternatives that are available are like library toy lending programs. Many public libraries have toy lending services, which is cool. I didn't know that they had that.
That's neat. Okay.
Yeah. You can also, you know, make toys yourself, making homemade Play-Doh, making cardboard forts, making forts out of sheets and stuff like that. Sock puppets. You don't need to buy anything. There's lots of stuff that you can just make with the stuff you have at home.
Okay. This
and then nature toys,
okay.
Which is like the stuff that's just out there with like sticks and rocks and leaves and sand and just being out in the outdoors. There's lots of toys just out there.
All of this sounds so much better than what I thought you were going to say after toy alternative. My mind okay. went straight to fake sugar and I'm like, what are we getting the kids? Asper toy? Sucra toy? What is this?
No. These are still okay. real toys.
Yeah,
they
I know.
Don't yeah. cost you anything.
Nothing's better than going out into the woods and finding a stick shaped perfectly like a sword. It's just, that's just awesome. I will be 70 million years old, find the perfect sword stick and be like, that'll keep me amused for at least a little while.
Yeah, the school called me and they were like, we think your kids were 30 minutes late to school today because there were these two children with matching backpacks fighting over a stick in front of... a yard on the way to school when they were walking to school. And when I asked the kids about it, they said they weren't fighting with sticks. They were fighting over the stick because it was the most beautiful stick and one of them had to have it and the other one couldn't. So
Stickscalibur.
Yeah. They found the perfect stick and were like 30, 45 minutes late to school because of that. So
that's for all the reasons you could lose track of your kid for an hour. The perfect stick is pretty mild, right?
Right. Yeah. So low-cost toy alternatives are store brand versions of popular toys, like Target's Up and Up section, Walmart's Kid Connection section. These are the knockoffs you're thinking of, Squeaky, with the Aspartame.
And these are the things that angered me so much as a child. I honestly would have rather not gotten them, gone the whole have a small number of toys route, but like, I don't know. I'm an adult. I can handle minimalism now.
I think this is really where the peer pressure comes in, where if you show up with a Target off-brand version of a popular toy, the other kids are going to know.
Oh, they're
going to make fun of you for
it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right. So maybe these are home toys, kids.
Consult.
I
just, whatever it takes to make your kid happy and figure that out for the least amount of money, right? And talk to your kid about peer pressure, right? Get them the thing they want, not the thing that will, you know... Impressed? Don't buy them status symbols. Buy them things that like are good for what they're doing.
I think a big part of parenting is that having them understand why this is not really going to make them happy, but is in fact a status symbol. Like, I think that's a big part of parenting to understand, to help the kids understand why just having stuff as part of what you're being peer pressured to is not actually the best thing.
Absolutely. How young do you think you can explain the concept of status symbol to someone?
Well, I think you don't say status symbol. I think you just say, just because your friends have this doesn't mean you need to have it. You are unique and special, and there are other things that you like that maybe you should do it and then see if your friends like that. You don't always have to have what your friends have.
Wow. I would cry. I would just be a crying little child now. Okay.
Right.
I got it. Yeah.
I'm glad to know as a parent I would make you cry, Squeaky.
Yeah. I mean, you can do it as a host, too. I mean, I'm flexible. Whatever we need for the podcast.
All right. All right, so another way to save on toys is to, you know, use your discount, sales, and reward program. So the best time to get toys are post-holiday clearance in January, summer sales, July and August, and of course the Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Those are some typical times to get the toys you want for not as much.
Awesome. Timing purchases. Makes sense.
Another way to find deals is to buy in bulk for gifts. So stock up during major sales for birthdays and holidays. I don't know what bulk toys you would buy. Bulk toy Legos, like, and just like
what's
have...
too much Legos?
And you just like you
fill
know...
one whole room.
Okay, of Legos, and you, then like, you just select it, like, one box each.
No, you just not one giant pile of Legos, and you build whatever you want.
Okay, right? It could be Legos typically come in sets.
Like, yeah, but you don't have to.
Yeah.
It's open-ended. We were even there. You can do... Okay, fine. We Lego very differently, you and me.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Legos when you need 3,000 of something. You give that as a present. Okay. Experts at Money Saving Mom recommend shopping off-season and using cashback apps for the best deals.
Yeah, seems reasonable. Definitely look for deals. Definitely shop for when other people aren't shopping.
Yep.
Yeah.
And our final way so far to save on toys is you can rent toys or try subscription services.
That's interesting. Yeah. I'd imagine the bigger and more expensive the toy is, the better renting it to see if your kid would like it is. Like, don't buy the bounce castle, rent it for a party and see if your kids like it. And you could rotate.
I'm trying to think of like what toy, I mean, like there's those, you know, those tiny Jeep car things that kids can drive around.
Big wheels, not Hot Wheels. Hot Wheels is the little cars.
Right. But I don't know. I have never heard of renting a toy. Have you?
No, you can rent like PlayStations and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it doesn't have to be just a plastic widget, right?
That's like, what I think of as
toys
a toy.
Can be like all kinds of stuff. Right? Okay. Like, as soon as you said rent, I'm like, one time I saw someone rent a telescope.
Right? Oh,
it was like
a
$3,000 telescope. They dropped like $100 to have it for a weekend. They did their astronomy thing. They brought it back.
Oh, that interesting.
That was a really good deal for them. Now, a $3,000 telescope isn't exactly a toy, unless your kid is really nerding out on the astronomy. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But I mean, this is kind of like the episode we talked about in renting out a camera.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, for a photography session. So, yeah. Okay. See if your kid's really interested in photography, you don't need to buy them the latest and greatest camera. You could rent it and see if they really like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Any toy that has some three-digit price tag, you could ask that question. Can you rent it? And that's why I went straight to bouncy castles, right? There's no way those are less than like $500, right? So if you just want to get one for your kid's birthday, and then if none of their friends jump in it, okay, well, you're not getting that. You save some money.
I just think like big toys like that, like trampolines.
Yeah.
Like, people are I see people giving away trampolines all the time.
Interesting.
Their kids just kind of grow out of it. They don't take it with them when they move out. And now they've got a trampoline in their backyard that's serviceable. It's used, but.
Okay. So as long as your kid's up to date on their tetanus shots, free trampolines.
Right. Yeah. The other suggestion is subscription services, because those rotate through toys regularly, keeping kids engaged without constant purchases. And this is something that their uncle got it for them, which was like science kits. So it was like a new science experiment that came to our doorstep every month. And the kids and I would get together and do that. Or when their uncle came over, they were like, let's break out the science kit, and had it already there at the house.
I would have loved that as a kid. And that's like not something that's normally name brand. I wouldn't have gotten upset about any of that, but just new science-y experimenting stuff.
Yeah.
Radio Shack. When I was a kid, Radio Shack still existed. I am old. Yeah, so back in the 1900s, you could get these little experiment kits from Radio Shack. And it was like 20 or 30 bucks back in the day, which would be like 50 or 60 bucks now. So it's a lot. Right? Mm. But like once every few months, my parents could scrape together some money and I'd build little things, right? Like I built a crystal radio, that thing that, you know, all of us old people built. So I built a tiny device out of cardboard and copper wire with like 10 million little windings. It was awesome. Yeah.
But that's way better than what I did as a kid, which is like I took technology and just disassembled it. So like I took our lawnmower and just took it apart. I took our scale and I took that apart. Like I was just taking apart stuff to figure out how it worked. And then I as a kid overestimated my abilities to put it together without anybody noticing that I had taken it apart to see how it worked.
I always got it back together, so my parents are like, make this one write software.
So. No, I was curious enough to open it up to see how it worked, but then once I figured it out, I was like, okay, now to put it back so nobody knew I took it apart. I was not good at that part.
No.
Yeah.
So toy kits. Not every kid's going to be interested in science. I presume there's art kits and other types of kits.
Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of kits. And well, actually, there's so many kits. We are going to talk about it in our next segment with scams.
Oh, scam kits.
Yeah, because there's some that are like actually worth like what you're talking about with the Radio Shack kits.
Yeah.
And then there's some where they're like, oh, you know, you spent $40 this month and we sent you a bunch of plastic connectors to connect together pieces of cardboard. And it's like, okay, those plastic connectors did not cost $40. Like,
yeah. That's like, you could buy a $100 3D printer and make that plus a million other projects.
Yeah. A 3D printer, now that's a high-end toy to rent. That's something my nieces and nephew have, is a 3D printer, and they love using that to print all kinds of toys. Yeah. So my nieces and nephew 3D printer thing is maybe like twice the size of this candle here. And it prints all kinds of minifigs and stuff for them to play with all the time.
Does it take liquid or filament?
Filament.
Okay.
And they have to like learn how to code to get it to print. Like it's really cool. I'll have to look up what brand it is, but and how much it costs. But
they make super tiny 3D printers. But, like that also isn't something suitable for like a little kid. You want
I mean he's 7, and his sister is 5, and they love it. Yeah. Well, Consumer Reports highlights toy rental as a way to reduce clutter and save money on short-lived toy trends. So, you know, save on toys, get it secondhand, get multi-use toys, try to find free low-cost alternatives, check into your local library and use those discount and sales programs, figure out when to get it, and try renting or subscription services to be able to save money on toys.
And buy your small child a 3D printer so they can make their own toys?
Yeah. That's what
that's
what my sister-in-law did that worked for her family. But if you have different ways to save money on toys, we'd love to hear it. Email us at penniespod@gmail.com, or you can call and leave us a little message that you want to have on air at 970-425-3060.
Awesome. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Thought for Your Pennies. I'm Shauna, and this is Squeaky.
Hey, I managed to save 2 pennies, and I'm going to donate them to the survivor of the LA fires.
The one survivor's getting both your pennies. That's so generous, Squeaky.
That's right. I'll find a few more pennies and donate to the survivors at linkcuts.org/LA fires.
Yep, helping each other out whenever there are problems is a great thing we should all be doing, even if we can't make it through a simple ad read without laughing.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to A Thought for Your Pennies, the show where we learn how to save money together. I'm Shauna, and this is Squeaky.
Hey, I'm Squeaky, and you can't convince me this worthless hunk of plastic was a scam.
Well, Squeaky, it depends what you're using it for, which I don't want to know. But this segment is about scams and toys. And sometimes when you're trying to get a toy, you do just get a hunk of plastic instead, unfortunately. Ugh. Yep, scamming all the time. So the first way that we get scammed
I'm so angry already because it just clicked for me. We're talking about toy scams. Fundamentally, these are people ripping off children.
Yeah, people who want to make children happy, they will rip you off instead. Yeah.
I wish I was surrounded by something soft. I can't punch any of these things.
All right, Squeaky, when we remake our studio, you need to have a punching bag, something to...
More soundproof tiles.
Yeah, exactly. All right, you ready? Do you have your blood pressure medication here?
No, I don't.
Okay.
But let's go. I'll just have a heart attack.
Okay. All right, Squeaky. Try to keep it together because we're going to talk about counterfeit toys.
Can you at least play with them still?
I don't know. These are fake versions of popular toys that are sold at a discount on marketplaces like Amazon, eBay, and Wish. They're made of cheap, unsafe materials and lack proper safety testing. And this is really commonly seen with Lego sets, Disney merchandise, LOL surprise dolls, and video game collectibles.
That makes perfect sense. Of course, we're going to have lead-based Legos that cost, you know, just a tenth of what the
really happy to hear that this is a scam, because now I realize that I am not stupid. I was the victim of a scam. Because in another episode, I cover about how for my son's 11th birthday, I tried to get him a Harry Potter birthday and Wish just came out. And so I bought him all of his Harry Potter stuff from Wish.com.
And it all came as Harry Porbler or something, right? Just nothing real.
Half the stuff did not arrive in time for his 11th birthday.
Okay, it's Wish. They save you money on shipping by not shipping.
Never
okay,
sending it to you. Yeah, within a year's time. I ordered it 3 months ahead for his 11th birthday. Did not get a half of it.
What?
His Slytherin cape was the size of his arm.
That's... How old was he at the time?
He was turning 11.
That's not... You don't need a lot of material to make a cape for an 11-year-old. Okay.
I know. Yeah. And the thing is when his stuff didn't arrive, I was just kind of like, oops, I am dumb. I ordered from this knockoff website all this Harry Potter stuff, so I'm going to take you to a theme park instead. Yay, hooray, whatever. And then the Harry Potter stuff started arriving, and I stupidly just started giving it to him. And then he was like, Mom, what are you doing? And I'm like, here's a Slytherin flag that looks like a cape you could have worn had you... been accepted to Hogwarts. And so he started getting all of this, like, he got a pensive thing that was like, you know, the size of his pinky, and he got like a remember ball that was like made out of some goopy stuff. And he was like, why are you giving me all this horrible Harry Potter stuff? And then I told him, like, yeah, I had this huge Harry Potter birthday plan for you, and the stuff is coming, and it's cheap, and it's not good, and I'm giving it to you anyway. And at the time, he's like, you want to hurt me? Like, what are you doing? Just throw this stuff away.
There's buying things that are inexpensive, then there's buying things that are so cheap they're not fit for purpose. If you're going to save money and buy your kid toys, you have to make sure the toys are still made out of safe materials and are durable for the price you're paying. Right?
Well, like, I got him this Hagrid action figure, and one eye was where it should be, and the other eye was, like, on the side in Hagrid's hair somewhere, so it was, like, a horrifying version of his favorite character from Harry Potter. So, yeah, but now I'm a victim of a scam. I'm not dumb and cheap. I just got scammed.
Nope, that's exactly it. Nope. knock off counterfeits. I'm with you. This is... The flip side of this is...
Dangerous because, you know, counterfeit toys, you'll have choking hazards. They're made out of toxic materials. They could be flammable. They often don't have the parts you need. They're not durable. They don't have the batteries compared to the real version. So what I should have done is bought from official Harry Potter licensed retailers, I guess, because there are official retailers that you can check for licensing marks.
But all the normal shopping around stuff still applies. You can shop around, you can get coupons. You were planning 3 months in advance. You could have found some deal in the meantime. And...
Right. Well, I was like, there's this great new website. Oh, my gosh. I can totally afford to buy his whole thing for Hogwarts Express for under $200. Well, yeah, those prices were too good to be true for a wand and a cape and a remember ball and your letter and a Hagrid figurine and all that.
Yep.
No.
Yep. Yeah. You could have had a budget, bought fewer toys that he would have, like, appreciated.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay.
And you can also use tools like Fake Spot or Review Meta to check seller authenticity.
Sounds like a great idea. I think Review Meta is built into Firefox now. So you just, it's like a little tab that pops up on the right. Yeah.
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 Well, your favorite association, the Toy Association, reports that counterfeit toy markets cost legitimate business billions annually and put children at risk.
I'm always leery of these kind of numbers, but that's plausible from a certain perspective, I'm sure. For every knockoff action figure that costs $1, they say, like, they would have bought the real $20 one. Probably not. But, like, there's knockoff Bluey figures, right? You can go buy Greenie or some nonsense, right? Just, you know, whatever the Temu version of, you know, be a green raccoon or some nonsense, right?
Bluey!
Okay. But, like, those will cost a dollar or two, and they'll be lead-based, and they'll break, and your kid won't like it. And there's no way that one missed sale of that turns into the $10 or $20 official Bluey toy. You're going to have fewer toys if they're going to hold up and be the official stuff, and that's probably okay, because it costs a little bit of money to make sure your kid's not eating random chemicals and right. It doesn't dissolve when it goes in their mouth or something.
Right, yeah. Well, another scam for you to get rageful about, Squeaky, is the subscription toy box scams.
I mean, hang on.
Breathe, Squeaky. We'll get them. Okay. We'll get
them. I'm
ready. All right.
I'm ready.
So, okay. How the scam works is that fraudulent companies advertise toy subscription boxes with high quality or educational toys.
Okay.
And customers never get the box. Or they get low quality, unrelated items.
Oh, you ordered your kid a Bluey, like, puzzle, and he gets knife or something ridiculous.
Or you order a Bluey puzzle, and it comes, and it's, like, only three pieces.
At least if it's a puzzle, it's probably safe. They probably sent it to the same printer and just bought the cheapest version or something.
I don't know. And these subscription box toy scams are often promoted through social media like Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok ads. So red flags to be able to spot these are no real customer reviews or only 5-star ratings, no physical address or customer service contact, and no option to easily cancel the subscription.
Yep. That's most of those toy, most of those subscriptions of any kind, actually.
Yeah. Thank you. So you can avoid it by sticking to well-known services, researching companies via the Better Business Bureau scam tracker, and avoiding sites that only accept untraceable payments, like Venmo, Cash App, or crypto. I didn't even know there were sites that only operated on Venmo, but...
Wait, you didn't cover our favorite way to pay. Are you saying that if they offer me cheap Bluey toys and I can pay with Apple iTunes gift cards, it's okay?
Squeaky, gift cards are always a scam. Get it tattooed somewhere.
What if I give my kid the gift cards?
Well, then, like, you would be doing better.
Here, kid, buy Minecraft. Give him $30 in Apple iTunes gift cards.
Yeah. The Better Business Bureau has received thousands of complaints about fake toy subscriptions that disappear after payment. So they really are a good place to check out their scam tracker. Yeah.
That's disgusting. Oh, my God.
All right, Squeaky, you ready to punch the wall? I got another scam.
Just rip it off like a bandage. Let's do it.
Online marketplace toy scams.
It's like a whole fake marketplace?
Fake toy sellers. No, so the fake toy sellers list items at deep discounts on marketplaces that are established, like eBay, Facebook Marketplace, and after purchase, the seller disappears. They don't ship the thing. They send a fake tracking number. And then there's a scam I haven't heard of. They use a brushing scam where they send a cheap product instead of the advertised toy. Oh, well, how to identify these scam sellers is that they don't have any seller reviews or recently created account. The product photos are stolen from official sites and the payment required outside of the platform, PayPal friends and family, a bank transfer.
Never Western Union for your toys.
Yeah,
no.
For your Bluey stuff. Don't do that. And you can avoid it by buying from verified sellers, use credit cards instead of debit or money transfers, and double check the return and refund policy before you buy anything.
And this is going to sound bad, but those bigger marketplaces, the ones where other people can put things up, eBay does it too, right? Hmm. Where if you get scammed, there is usually some intermediary that can help you get your money back to deal with the scammers. With eBay, it's PayPal. With Amazon, it's Amazon itself. With Newegg, it's Newegg, right? So if somebody does sell you crap, they'll take the hit and kick them off the platform. But like,
oh, wow.
It happens.
Yeah, but I think it's like Facebook Marketplace, maybe.
Oh,
I don't know.
That's all peer-to-peer. Facebook doesn't participate in the transaction. That's a...
Right. Or Poshmark is another one where it's peer-to-peer. Mercari. Yeah.
I'm not familiar with any of those.
Yeah.
But yeah, if there's no intermediary, you're not going to get, you know, stuff that's in box. But you can get to use stuff that way. It's just... You have to meet up with people. So don't go to Facebook Marketplace and pull out Western Union or Venmo. Go meet them.
Right.
Go meet them in some shady parking lot. Have them hand you the toy.
No, not a shady parking lot. Actually,
you're right.
Typically, your local police department, actually, they are catching on to these scams. And so they will provide places that are safe swaps for online marketplace purchases these days.
But yeah, okay, for a lot of listeners, probably... probably these places they recommend are probably just fine.
Well, and I feel like if they're a scammer and you're like, hey, let's meet up in the police department, you know, parking lot, they'll be like, it's already been sold. Sorry, can't meet you, you know.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Ready for the next scam?
No, but we have to.
Backing up. So the Federal Trade Commission warns about fake toy sellers and advises consumers to use payment methods with fraud protection. That's according to the FTC online shopping tips.
Yeah, that's things. Yeah, things like using PayPal instead of Western Union. Yeah.
All right, next scam. Holiday season toy shortage scams. Woo-hoo.
Okay, is this like? Okay, let me guess. Holiday season toy shortage scam. This is people saying they have the Tickle Me Elmo or whatever this year's hotness is.
Right. So that is like PlayStation 5, Hatchimals, Fingerlings.
Yeah, but they claim they have it when everyone else is sold out. And I suppose it could be as innocuous as they actually have it. They're just selling at a 500% markup. Or it could be as malicious as they don't actually have it. They'll sell it to you at a 500% markup and you'll get a brick that weighs the same amount as the toy in the mail.
Yeah, they promise exclusive stock or guaranteed shipping ahead of the holidays, and then they disappear after receiving payment.
Yep.
Or they've used a fake website that looks like a legit store, but steal credit card details instead.
Ebar.com.
Yep.
Amazonian.
With a weird ending. Red flags of holiday toy scams. There's no real business history or recent domain registration. Offers that seem too good to be true, and pressure tactics like limited deal are only two left in stock.
It's always pressure tactics. It's always businesses with no history. Ugh.
So you can look up websites on Scam Advisor or Whois to see if the domain has been recently registered.
Yeah, Whois is the big domain registration database. You just type into a Google or whatever Whois, and then the web address. You can find that info really fast.
Yep. And the National Consumers League reports that a rise in fake toy resellers during peak holiday shopping season. So you kind of want to check out the National Consumers League Fraud Center.
Of course, they target people during the peak shopping season. Scammers always go after people at their most vulnerable.
Right.
Yep.
Are you ready for our final scam of the segment, Squeaky?
My heartburn came back. Okay. Hang on.
Get some Tums. Get some Pepto. All right. It is the unsafe toys that violate safety standards. Boo.
This is the lead. This is the lead, right?
Right. This is toys that skip safety regulations and sell toys that violate the CPSC, which is the Consumer Product Safety Commission standards.
Get
it
now.
And so these are often found on cheap e-commerce sites, and the common violations are, ding, 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 toxic lead paint, small choking hazards, or flammable materials.
Get it now. It's colorful. It's transparent. It's sharp. It's bag-o glass.
This is where they sell the innovative new lawn darts that they found somewhere.
So I'm referencing an old SNL sketch. I'm just recycling other people's jokes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Just go to YouTube, type in bag of glass. It'll give you something from our childhood.
Okay. How do you avoid this? Well, you can look up recalls on the CPSC website.
Okay.
Avoid buying from no-brand toys from unknown manufacturers, and check for CE or ASTM safety certifications on the toy.
I used to know ASTM. No, ASTM is the same people who make those little diamond warning labels about flammability, toxicity, and reactiveness.
Yep.
It's interesting that they make factory warnings and toy warnings.
Yeah, well, because flammable toys is no bueno. You don't want that.
Hey, do Walmart and Target still post, like, physical posters of toy recalls? Because I know a few years back they used to, but I haven't been in a Walmart in years.
I don't think so.
I have
not seen that. That's why you have to look it up on your own. And this is, like, with some toys, you know, you want to register them, and then you will get contacted by the company if it gets recalled for whatever reason.
Yeah. That probably makes sense for any toy that's expensive.
Right.
Because, like, you know, if it's something the kid's going to have for a while, or if it has, like, electronics, right, you want to know if it's going to, like, catch fire or something.
Yeah, right. Like, yeah. I remember when hoverboards first came out and they were popular.
Oh, yeah, the motors would keep catching fire, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So the Consumer Product Safety Commission issues recalls on unsafe toys every year due to hazardous materials. So you can go to that part of their website, CPSE Toy Recalls.
Okay.
All right. So to wrap up, the biggest toy scams to avoid are the counterfeit toys, the subscription box toy scams, the online marketplace toy scams, holiday season scams, and unsafe toys. You can report scams, toy scams, to the Better Business Bureau Scam Tracker, to the Federal Trade Commission Fraud Report, and to the Consumer Product Safety Commission for recalls.
Hey, none of that said that I couldn't eat the Legos. Is that still on the table? If they're made nice, clean, safe ABS, I can just eat that.
You're just like, skip microplastics, go straight to macroplastic.
Delicious.
I hope no kids are listening to this. But if you have better ideas on toy scams than Squeaky has eating Legos, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach out to us at penniespod@gmail.com, or you can call and leave us a message at 970-425-3060 and let us know if you want to hear it on air.
Because they don't digest, we can still sell them secondhand.
Okay.